Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
This is Love Sport.
Was not a bad start at all, was it? 61 years on from the last time Manchester United hosted Chelsea at Old Trafford on the opening day of a top flight season, they've gone and done it again. And they've gone and won it again. Yet on that day in 1958, a Bobby Charlton hat-trick, Sir Bobby Charlton, I should say, inspired United to a 5-2 triumph on home soil today. Who inspired? Who did inspire the Red Devils today? Was it Harry Maguire? Was it Aaron Wan-Bissaka? Was it the goals of Anthony Martial as a number nine? Was it the goals of Marcus Rashford up top with Anthony Martial in a front two we saw for a period in that first and second half? That will be up for debate over the course of the next hour or so on Love Sport, because this is the Manchester United fan show. Yes, we are new to Love Sport Radio at 9 p.m. every Sunday evening. And the boys have just opened their Premier League campaign with a resounding 4-0 victory over Frank Lampard's Chelsea. So much to talk about. We've got a bunch of guests coming up because it was, of course, quite the first day indeed. It was a fixture which promised a lot in the build-up. Club legends, now club managers, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Frank Lampard, both taking charge under transitional circumstances at their beloved clubs. But it was Ole at the wheel who came out on top and helped United record their biggest Old Trafford win over Chelsea since 1965. And I guess with the exception of that opening 25 minutes or so, if you asked United fans what they wanted from today's game, what they would have taken from today's game, they probably would have said a good performance from Aaron Wan-Bissaka, a solid performance from Harry Maguire, £80 million man Harry Maguire, two assists from Paul Pogba would do, a goal from Anthony Martial as a number nine, the type of goal that we haven't really seen from him at Manchester United since he signed for the club in 2015. A brace from Marcus Rashford would be lovely. And a goal from a debutant, a new signing in Daniel James, would also be good. And guess what? All of that happened. Every last bit of that happened. And David De Gea was also incredibly solid in goal. Is he returning to the form that won him all those Player of the Year trophies at United in recent history? I'm delighted to say that we've got Dale O'Donnell on from Stretti News to discuss all of today's game, all of the action. Dale, how happy are you, mate?
I'm absolutely delighted. You know, I would have been happy with 3 points today. The performance wasn't all that convincing, even though we won 4-0. But you mentioned some of the key points there. Look, it's impossible for me not to have a smile on my face.
I mean, when you look at... We'll start with Harry Maguire, shall we? Most clearances, most interceptions, most blocks. Now, I know that potentially says, like when a goalkeeper makes so many saves, you go, well, that's because he's been under the cosh so much. Yes, there was a period, or, you know, sustained periods of the game where Chelsea were attacking. They were in the ascendancy, but Big Slab Ed was there. Or Dennis the Menace, as we're led to believe, is the new nickname for him.
Yeah, he was fantastic. He was a rock at the back. And I think even his calm presence on the pitch today, he's only been there a few days, hasn't had many training sessions with him. I just seem calm, you know, and he seems settled there already. And he's a big lad. As you mentioned, his clearances, he had the most interceptions on the pitch too. So he's in the right place at the right time. So it's just that leading figure that we needed at the back. And I know it's only one game. But it's a game against, you know, so he didn't have it easy in his first game and he came out five stars, you know.
I think for me, Dale, one of the things that was so noticeable, and we're so used to seeing it over the past few seasons with Phil Jones, with Chris Smalling, with Victor Lindelof to a certain extent. I know that Jose Mourinho, after the game in his new role as Sky Sports pundit, very quick to say a few controversial things, said, I knew that Victor Lindelof was a player. He just needed that man next to him. Listen, Jose Mourinho also spent a lot of money on Eric Bailly to be that man next to him, but Harry Maguire has come in, and it was the fact that he was so assured when he was bringing the ball out of defence, sometimes not even under any pressure. But you just sit and listen, body language is a big thing in football. His chest was puffed out. The way that he was bringing the ball out of defence, he just seemed so comfortable with the ball at his feet.
Yeah, look, and that's going to rub off on the other players surrounding him. You know, you look at Wan-Bissaka today, absolutely exceptional performance. Lindelof had a good season last year and hope that and become a better defender this season. could actually rub off on his teammates. And you mentioned they're coming out with defence and some of his true balls. You know, one of the problems with United in attack the past few years has been how slow he's been to make transitions from, say, defence to midfield and midfield to attack. And Harry Maguire, you can see with the ball, he's brilliant. He gets his head up. He finds that forward pass. He's going to benefit that too. And look, with the assist Pogba did for Rashford, that kind of quarterback, like something you see in the NFL, absolutely superb ball. You know, if United can get that system going, and the likes of Maguire and Pogba that want to make things happen, it could build on that as the season goes on, and it could make it a lot stronger.
You mentioned Aaron Wan-Bissaka there as well, Dale. So obviously these two players that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer brought in, two defenders, and it got to a point in the transfer window and everyone was talking about Bruno Fernandes. Some people were talking about Christian Eriksen. Everybody wanted a midfielder. Everybody wanted potentially another attacker. That absolute debacle with Paulo Dybala, who I'm going to rename Paulo Dybala, actually, right here, right now, because it was a debacle, that whole transfer nonsense with him, not ever really wanting to come to the club. And we've had players hold United to ransom and use United as leverage over the years. And you just sensed that was what was going on with Dybala. But no attacker was brought in. Again, I mean, I know we brought in Daniel James, but no extra attacker, no extra midfielder. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer clearly had his ideas that he wanted Harry Maguire, he wanted Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And when you think about it, he's actually got his main men.
Yeah, well, like, he has got his main men, and suppose there's also priority positions. You know, if you ask United fans at the start of the summer, what sign do you want most? I suppose some people would have said midfielders, but I got the feeling the most wanted the centre half. And he said all summer that he wanted Harry Maguire. He got that. So I think he got in his main target. Wan-Bissaka is a terrific signing too. And Daniel James is more a potential signing, hoping for the best for the future. But of course, he would have wanted a midfielder or two. You know, there's no way that he looks at that midfield and thinks that's strong enough. Andres Pereira started today. I know he created goals for Martial, but I thought he was dire. And I wouldn't have to use the fingers on one hand to count how many performances I think he offered something to Manchester United. So I think going into the season and talking him being a start in the field, that's worrying. And that definitely tells me that Solskjaer must be thinking, had he had the opportunity to play in the field, he would have took. And it's not just the Dybalas and the Christian Eriksons I'm talking about. I think they also need another combative midfielder too, because Nemanja Matic didn't feature today, but his legs are gone.
Yeah, I think absolutely when you look at pre-season, that's what everybody has taken from Nemanja Matic. When you look at last season, you just sensed that his batteries, for want of a better term, were running out, basically, with Nemanja Matic. So, I mean, yourself, Dale, and look, we can get carried away by a 4-0 victory in the opening day. There were clearly signs or causes for concern, I should say. In the middle of the park, like you said, it was Pogba, it was Pereira, and it was McTominay, Jesse Lingard in there as well. There was a period in the first half where they reverted to a 4-4-2, and that's when I was slightly concerned, because all of a sudden, you're very much putting your square pegs in round holes, because you've got Paul Pogba and Jesse Lingard in the middle. That's fair enough. Jesse Lingard, not a central midfielder, but we can deal with that. But having Andreas Pereira on the right-hand side of midfield, having Scott McTominay on the left-hand side of midfield, is not what you want to see, is it?
No, I like McTominay. I do. Just Pereira, I don't see the future at Man United for him that some people are trying to make out that he could have. I haven't seen the evidence of that. With McTominay, I see a player that's actually constantly growing. No, he's not sure the Paul's goals and all that, but like, he could shape into a fantastic player. I see it even today when the goals are going in, he was celebrating. He seems like he's becoming a focal figure in the squad. And he's not in the squad very long, and even last season he wasn't considered a starting player. He's quickly become getting that status now. And that might be because they haven't strengthened the field over the summer. But that might be a risk that Solskjaer's willing to worth take. I think it's worth taking. Because if he shapes into a great player with more time on the pitch, which young players need, I see a future in him. I'm just not too sure on his Pereira. And if Mourinho hadn't been sacked in December of last year and he was still manager, he wouldn't be still at the club, Pereira.
Absolutely. And what you say on Scott McTominay there, I completely agree with you, Dale. Of course, this is a player that does receive some criticism because he's not, I don't know, you could say fashionable, I suppose.
Yeah.
He's a player that does, I said earlier on a different show, the show before this, that Scott McTominay just does Scott McTominay things, I guess. And to the wider audience, they don't like that he's not a player for YouTube like Paul Pogba is, that he's not going to, you know, do a double step over and Cruyff around someone and do a Rabona, cross it into the box. That's not what Scott McTominay does, but he definitely has a purpose, like we've seen over the years at United in the form of John O'Shea, in the form of Darren Fletcher, these players that will do whatever they can for the club. And you're right in terms of him having the minutes. Getting the minutes is only going to make him a better player. And what we saw today in those huddles after those celebrations was, like you say, Scott McTominay taking the lead. I think it was after the third goal, you could hear him shouting, "We go again, we go again."
Yeah.
And that's hugely pivotal for a young player to be taking the lead like that.
Do you know what, fans love that too. Fans see that and it makes a difference, because they, in the last season, there was no really encouraging signs when you watch it before the end of that season, when they were losing games and performing poorly. Even after games, some away from home or some players away from home would go straight down the tunnel and not acknowledge the fans that travelled and spent their Saturday or Sunday travelling around England to go watch their team and pay their hard-earned money. You know, there's only some players went over to those away ends and clapped them off. And you know, that's an insult. People don't expect it, but it's an insult. You know, you see the likes of McTominay, he takes that kind of leadership, and he's a player that might not be on social media the whole time, but actually cares about his work. I hold him in high regard for that, and I think that I'm hoping he's a fine player, because I think that he'd have a nice future in life, because he seems like a level-headed guy, and it's the kind of player you want to have around the dressing room.
Okay, Dale, look, mate, thanks for joining us today. Just before you go, I want to get your final thoughts, just how you're feeling now after the first game of the season.
Yeah, well, I was pessimistic going into the season because I'm questioning whether we'll get top four and that's still going to be the case, because it's only one game. I think it's a good time to face Chelsea because in the Lampard, I'd like you to get a sense of momentum after a win or two. We're hitting at the right time. Hopefully this knock might hit them a little hurdle and knock their confidence a small bit as the season starts. But for us, I don't think today changes much, because as the season goes on, players are going to get feels that we're worried about. It's going to be stressed. It's already stressed as it is. And we're also going to be relying on Martial and Marcus Rashford. So 20 league goals this season each. That's what they should be hitting. And yet there's no evidence that they've done that previously. So we're kind of in the mist here, and I'm not quite sure what to expect, but if Solskjaer can get the young players all firing and build some sort of chemistry bond, anything's possible.
Absolutely, anything is possible. Dale O'Donnell of Stretti News, that was great. A really, really good reaction, I think, that really, really good insight, because whilst there is excitement ahead of the new campaign, Dale is obviously keeping his feet firmly on the ground ahead of what is going to be an interesting season for United. We can't wait to talk more about it. Mark Flanagan of LSR Radio Northwest Football is up next.
This is Love Sport.
This is Love Sport and the Manchester United fan show, new to Love Sport, with you until 10 p.m. this evening. I'm Matt Beadle. We've just spoken to Dale O'Donnell of Stretti News, excited about the new campaign ahead, but also has reservations with that midfield. Obviously, it was Paul Pogba, Scott McTominay, Jesse Lingard and Andreas Pereira who started the game in midfield today. Slightly tweaked the formation, did Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at one point. We had Scott McTominay on the left and Andreas Pereira on the right, although Pereira obviously did whip in a lovely goal for Anthony Martial to bag his first of the season as Manchester United's number nine. The type of goal that we haven't really seen from Anthony Martial since he arrived in 2015. And quite interestingly, he's now scored 49 goals in all competitions for the club, which is more than any other player in that time from when he arrived on deadline day from Monaco in September 2015. To talk a bit more about that, we've got Mark Flanagan, LSR Radio Northwest football correspondent, on the line. He joined us last week as well. Mark, how are you doing?
Very well. I'm very good.
Good, good. And I'm presuming you're very good after what was a resounding opening day victory against Chelsea.
Well, it was an interesting one. You mentioned before about the first 25 minutes in terms of, you know, Chelsea had the upper hand. I would go as far as saying as until Manchester United got their second goal, that Chelsea were the better team. And I'm actually, you know, generally speaking, I'm you know, I'm a pretty realist and I'm quite pragmatic about things, that I'm struggling to think of a less convincing 4-0 victory that I've ever seen in my life. The opportunities and the way that Chelsea controlled the ball, which United fans must be desperate to see at Old Trafford for the first hour, was really impressive in the way that Chelsea pressed. And there were times where Man United were playing the ball back in their own sort of quarter of the pitch, and you were really worried for them. That said, United really grew into the game, and I thought Maguire grew into that role very quickly, bearing in mind he's only had a week to practice with his teammates. I thought he showed a lot of authority, and the sort of the best thing about the game was his performance, actually. The amount of times he just found himself in the right place at the right time, which is as a defender. He's not the quickest defender in the world. That's critically important, that sort of footballing brain that he's got, and his calmness in possession as well when they were under the cosh a little bit. But I'd also add as well, you know, the caveat I think Dale mentioned about, you know, looking at the opposition. I'm struggling to recall a weaker Chelsea team under the Abramovich regime. Mason Mount was anonymous. Tammy Abraham, I just don't see him being a 15-goal striker in the Premier League. He just doesn't. I just don't think he's got it in him. Kovacic was probably the best player on the pitch, actually. The guy who they brought from Real Madrid on a permanent deal. He looked really good. But him and Jorginho were the better central pairing, central midfield pairing compared to McTominay, Pereira, and Pogba. And I think listening to Dale talk about Pereira, how he is a Manchester United player, I struggle to understand it. You know, decent dead ball, but in broken play, he just makes too many mistakes. He makes too many wrong decisions, gives the ball away too easily. He's never looked convincing. He just looks completely out of his depth. And if United are going to push for a top four, they need a much stronger central midfield, because I've always been determined that I'm never going to read too much into one game, and particularly the first game of the season, which we often left with egg in our faces when we try and decide what's going to happen for the rest of the season based on one game. It'd be interesting to see how they go at Wolves next week. That's a really critical test. If they can avoid defeat at Wolves, I think that's more evidence that they're on the right path. But until I think they've played five games, I'm going to sort of reserve judgment in terms of overall. I just think everything went for them today. Everything that could have gone. What Aspilicueta was doing for that third goal, why he didn't put a proper tackle in.
It
was bizarre. You know, I know he's a left-footed player and it would have been awkward for him because he'd want to go in from the other side. But, you know, you've just gone 2-0 down, Caesar. You know, you put your body on the line. You throw your body in front of that. You know, if you're going to give away a penalty, give away a penalty. But, you know, you've got a good chance of stopping him. It was a good first touch from Rashford, but he paused to shoot and there was an opportunity for him to tackle him. He just didn't. Daniel James's fourth goal, he'll never get a ricochet like that again in the rest of his career, the way it's spun into the goal. So everything, you know, I mean, I'm not being Mr. Party Pooper, but everything did go for United today. And it's unlikely that the sort of the luck will be so heavily in their favour in the rest of the games. But certainly Maguire and certainly the defence as a whole, actually, was the big positive for United, bizarrely, after scoring four goals.
Yeah, absolutely. I read the stat out earlier. Most blocks, most interceptions, most tackles, Harry Maguire. Yeah. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, I think when he made his first sliding tackle, you've not heard a bigger roar at Old Trafford in the last couple of years, I don't think. But I just want to quickly discuss Andreas Pereira, because I'm not going to argue against your points and Dale's points, but this is someone, and I think whether this is right or wrong, I think sometimes as a fan, you're really willing a player to do well. And I look at Andreas Pereira, and he's been at the club for a long time now, and Sir Alex obviously had huge faith in him. I was actually at the Ipswich League Cup game when he scored the free kick to make it 4-0, I think it was. And I thought, okay, I really want this guy to be good. He's been shipped out on loan, obviously spent some time at Valencia. You sense that he himself really wants to be a success at United. A part of me feels like the fact that Michael Carrick is on the coaching staff now, that maybe he's got him under his wing and wants to sort of make him the new Michael Carrick-esque type of player in the middle of the park there. He did assist a goal today. I have to say again, I think it was Azpilicueta again that got completely sold by a dummy that I think a Sunday League player wouldn't have got sold on. I mean, the way that Pereira wound up his left arm to kind of say, I'm going to do a dummy and drop my shoulder here and then I'm going to cross it in was ridiculous. But he did get an assist on his belt. I mean, this is the situation now. United can't sign anyone until January. When you look at that midfield and you've got McTominay, Matic, who we said with Dale as well, looks like his batteries seem to have run out now, and Pereira. I mean, what would you do to change it? Would you fiddle about with it? What would be your starting midfield?
Well, that's a great question. And obviously there's Fred as well, who...
of course, yeah.
Yeah, who's slightly disappeared off the radar. I mean, I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, the slightly sad thing for United is that, you know, you can argue a case that Pereira is a slightly better option than Fred. And we're talking about a player who cost £52 million last summer. You know, they're both, you know, for a top half Premier League team and a top six Premier League team, mediocre footballers. The problem is also the combination. So the central midfield is a critical element in terms of combining, you know, you're greater than the sum of your parts. Matic and McTominay are very similar in my respect. They're not particularly mobile. Like you say, McTominay, he's not a flamboyant footballer. He does the simple things. He just does the bits and pieces, which is what Matic does. So you can't really play both of them together, in my opinion, and then play Pereira. Fred is much more sort of dynamic as he gets around the pitch more, but just seems sort of tactically naive and makes a lot of mistakes in possession as well. You're reliant on Pogba to kind of break forward, make the charging runs when you've got McTominay and Matic in the team, and there's too much for him to do. And Lingard as well, who isn't really a midfielder, but he's not really a striker either. He just disappears out of the game for long periods, and then all of a sudden he did that thing today where he hadn't heard of him for half an hour, and then he beats three players and forced a foul. Then you think, wow, that was great. Well, where have you been for the last sort of 20, 25 minutes? So there is, like you say, they can't sign anybody until January. They've obviously got, there's Angel Gomez as well, and there's Garner. But they're just teenagers, so... there's Chong as well, who's a kind of a central midfielder who may get some game time. But Manchester United are limited in the central midfield, and this is going to be their Achilles heel now, I feel, going forward in terms of getting back into the top four. I just don't see with that personnel how they can win enough Premier League games to get into the top four. And that's not Ollie's fault. You know, I'm sure he was asking Mr. Woodward every day, how's it going with Fernandes? How's it going with Ericsson? How are we doing with X, Y, and Z? He'll have been desperate. You know, he knows a lot more about football than me. If I can see it, and him and Mick Phelan can see exactly where the issues are in terms of what they need in the centre of the park, and he's just going to have to manage that as best he can. The great thing is he's got Rashford off to a great start. Martial scored. They were clinical today, which is obviously critically important. You've got to take your chances. They didn't have that many chances, but they did really well with what they had. But that you can't expect to sustain that over a long period of time. You need to dominate games. You need to create 10 chances to score 3 goals normally. They can't rely on Rashford, you know, scoring with every opportunity that he gets, because he's going to go through a period of 5 or 6 games where he's not going to score at all. And that's where, you know, maybe it's all going to slightly unravel for United.
Well, that's one of the things that we have to talk about, is that strike force. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always been the same, that I've wanted Anthony Martial just to get that run playing through the middle. I think most United fans want to see Anthony Martial as that number 9. He's got his number back now as a striker through the middle. We saw a goal here. Look, he's quite fortunate in the end. It sort of ricocheted off one leg and then hobbled through another and went through the legs, I think, of Kepa in the Chelsea goal. But we are looking at players now who do need to score 15-plus goals each if United are to really, really challenge for those top 4, top 6 places, really. Romelu Lukaku has now gone. Alexis Sanchez is due to come back from injury. There have been whispers over the past week about a potential move to Roma. I mean, we're limited in midfield, but also limited in attack.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes kind of desperation leads to inspiration, and the fact that Martial has never felt like the main man. You know, certain footballers need to feel like they're loved and adored. I don't know him personally. I couldn't possibly say it or that he requires that. But sometimes the weight of responsibility, and he's got it into his head that I am going to be playing up front. And that in itself will breed a kind of confidence that he knows he's going to play, because obviously his career has been very checkered. He's in, he's out. He nearly left, obviously, when Mourinho was in charge, and that nearly happened. So this could be the making of Martial now. He's obviously at an age where he should be entering his prime. And you just feel like you watch him and he's got all the kind of ability in the world, but I would still question his sort of decision-making. He's not a natural number nine in terms of a finisher in the sort of classic sense of a Gary Lineker or that ilk, but he's clever and he's tricky and he's skillful. He just has to learn, I guess, to take up those positions. But like you say, at times today it was Rashford and Martial, and that's going to be an interesting one to see how that develops, to see if Ollie keeps those kind of that far up the pitch without one dropping particularly deeper, because you just get a sense that Martial likes coming off the wing a little bit. He feels sort of more at home drifting into the channel and then sort of picking up the ball and attacking the goal, whereas Rashford seems a bit more comfortable going down the middle. But, you know, that side of it worked really well, and, you know, Pogba can pick the pass. Rashford's intelligent enough to make those runs across the middle, and, you know, the way he opened up Chelsea for the third goal looked straightforward, but, you know, it was a split second, perfect timing from Rashford, and so he's got that in his locker. He for me just feels more naturally at home down the centre, but if they're kind of switching, sort of, you know, one's going out wide and one's going down the middle and Lingard's then picking up on the other side, I guess that's an avenue. But then again, what happens if, you know, one of them gets injured? Who's coming in now that Lukaku's gone? If Sanchez leaves as well, I suppose you've got Mason Greenwood, which is not a bad option. Forget about his age. This lad's got everything. And him as a sort of a backup, it could really work for United. And it'll be really interesting to see if with a run of games, how good Martial can be, because we haven't really seen it. He's not really had it yet at United.
No, absolutely not. It's myself, Matt Beadle, here with Mark Flanagan on the Manchester United Fan Show. We're about halfway through the show, and whilst he's been mentioned in spits and spats, Paul Pogba hasn't really been discussed yet. So naturally, we're going to talk about him next.
This is Love Sport.
Manchester United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through until about 10 p.m. I'm currently joined by Mark Flanagan, NSR Radio Northwest football correspondent. And we are now going to discuss the man that's been discussed throughout the entire summer. And we've managed to do well. It's about 34 minutes into the show, Mark, and we've not really talked about him too much. And we have spoken about the midfield, but I didn't want to go into it because I felt like it needs a slightly bigger section. But I'm just going to read out some quotes, because Paul Pogba played for Manchester United today, having not played that final pre-season friendly. Of course, there's so much speculation surrounding his future at the club. We said last week that perhaps Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was insulting our intelligence somewhat by saying that Pogba was entirely happy at United, when you can still see that he doesn't really look overly happy. What I really noticed actually was at the end of the game, when him, Martial and Giroud were all talking, they didn't have the hands over their mouths. I know they're speaking in French, but we're so used to players having their hands over their mouths now. You kind of sense that Pogba was like, I don't care what people see me saying, because I don't want to be at this club, and if I say something I'm not supposed to say, it doesn't matter, it might help me move. That's a conspiracy theory coming from me there. But Solskjaer has said, you know, Paul can do many, many jobs. He said this after the game today, and he said that he can do everything a midfielder can. That's what we've been led to believe since he signed for the club, of course. He said today he was asked to play that sitting role, and he thought Chelsea pegged United back too much, and they created a few problems, so he had to track Barkley. But he said, crucially, we're fit and he's fit. That third pass is a fantastic pass for the third goal, and the run for the fourth, I just wanted him to go all the way and open your legs up, son. your view on Paul Pogba today, because look, two assists, so statistically he's put in a great performance.
Yeah, I mean, he was good. He was better than the kind of the rest of the sort of the midfield in that respect. He that's what he's best at, really, isn't it? It's that kind of just glance and then 30-40 yard pass that he can put into, you know, into someone's path and give him time. He's a footballer who really can do special things, and you know, that precision is critical at this level. You know, it's the difference between a goal and not a goal. But my just issue with him is that he just, when it's in tight situations and you've got Jorginho and other players around him, and there's that sort of those little mini battles that you get in midfield, he doesn't seem to come out on top in enough of them. In terms of, you know, the ball's pinging around and he just seems to sort of lose it a little bit in the composure. And there was a point as well in the first half where he tried to do what I would call a Zidane turn, where he flick turns and then does 180, and he just completely messed it up.
The double drag back type thing.
Yeah, the double drag. Yeah, that's a better way of explaining it rather than the Zidane turn, which he just completely messed up, and he didn't even need to do it. I don't really understand. Why didn't he just faint and just flick the ball? Because, you know, funny Ollie talking about opening his legs and going, he's deceptively quick. He doesn't look that quick. He really does cover the ground quite an impressive way. And there is, you know, it's very difficult to imagine a final. When Pogba's on the charge, it is a thing to behold, and you just get the crowd off their seats. But there doesn't seem to be, you know, an enormous amount of enjoyment. And that was quite odd, the conversation with Giroud at the end, you know.
Really open and public, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. I felt like Giroud was saying, so are you going to leave then, Paul? saying, well, I don't think so. Can't possibly let me go now, in French. But, you just feel he's one kind of half tackle or one bad Man United goal from throwing his dummy out, spitting his dummy out. And that, you're kind of almost holding your breath that he's going to get upset. And that's, you just can't play for a top team if that's going to be the attitude. If he can rein it in, and because he will be disappointed and he's not going to leave because they can't possibly let him go. You know, he'd just be suicide without any sort of players coming the other way. Even if Real Madrid were prepared to offer the money, I mean, you know, I can't see it happening. So he's going to have that to deal with. And he's going to have to deal with playing Thursday and Sunday. And when they start playing in the Europa League and those long trips and it becomes a really difficult slog for him. And he's, you know, he's not in the spotlight. He's not playing in the Champions League. It's not glamorous going to Albania or the Slovak Republic or wherever it is they're going to have to end up playing and travelling a lot to. That's going to be the test for Pogba. You know, he was good in parts today, but I wouldn't, you know, nothing spectacular as far as I'm concerned, even though he did get the two assists.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you mention that he's one sort of bad tackle, one goal away from throwing his toys out of his pram, and you just want to see them happy, that's the thing. As a fan, you just want to see them happy. It reminds me of Cristiano Ronaldo in the 2008-09 season when, you know, it was quite clear that he wanted to leave, and Sir Alex spent swathes of that summer in 2008 after winning the Champions League against Chelsea to keep him at the club. And while they eventually agreed for Cristiano to stay at Old Trafford, you could just tell that he wasn't happy, and you were just hoping, just smile when you score, celebrate. Every time you saw him with the other players celebrating, you were like, oh, he's back, maybe he is going to stay. But then, of course, there was that moment against Manchester City in the 2-0 victory there where he sort of stormed off and he grabbed his tracksuit top, and Sir Alex after the game said, oh, he just wants to play. No, he doesn't, Sir Alex, he wants to go. And that's why he's now doing these things, because he wants to leave. With Pogba, also the double drag back, like you mentioned. Yeah. I mean, I have a theory on Pogba in the sense that he does play this sort of YouTube brand of football, and that when you said why didn't he just faint and pass it, because Paul Pogba doesn't believe that's what he should be doing. He believes that he should be doing a double drag back because he can pull it off, but because I think he underestimates, he's got such an ego, which is a good thing as a footballer, you need that arrogance, but I think he underestimates his opponents because he thinks he's so much better than them. But what I think is happening now, and you saw it when Tammy Abraham dispossessed him quite easily in the middle of the park in that first half, is that when he first came to England, England, he was respected quite highly. And I think people thought, that's Paul Pogba, I'm going to stand off him and give him space because there's no chance I'm going to get near him. Now, I think players have clocked onto the fact that he's almost a bit lackadaisical in his play and they go, yeah, I can have him.
Yeah. And also, what's interesting, you mentioned about the sort of cuddles, the giant cuddles that Manchester United were doing after all the goals, and we were, you know, they were all together and chatting, and there was a bit where McTominay was trying to really get the players going and saying, look, we go again, and everything else. And I just thought, I was looking at Pogba and watching him as he was in the clinch with the rest of the players, and he just looked sort of vacant. He just felt like he was sort of going through, I'm here because I'm supposed to be here. But there was no kind of joy or kind of delight in his face. Part of, you know, because he didn't score. But I genuinely think he's the joy has evaporated from him. It is work for him now. And he's in a workplace where, he doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to be in Manchester, and he wants to be somewhere else, because I think he thinks the stage that, you know, that United can offer him and the players that he's playing with aren't his equal. And I think that, you know, feeds into what you were saying about his ego as well. You know, he thinks he should be at Real Madrid playing with, Toni Kroos and Modric and all the other guys, and Hazard and obviously Chelsea missed him. Goodness me, did they ever miss him today? Mm. That's where he believes he should be. And, who am I to say that he's probably not right, but there's ways and means of going about it. You mentioned Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, the year leading up to his departure, we never heard anything from Ronaldo, not even a hint that he was, you know, the deal had been done and he was going to spend one more year at United and then he was off. But, you know, the way Pogba has behaved and things he's said and everything else that's happened, you know, it's obvious he wants to leave, and that's just leaves such a sour taste in the mouth of United fans who, you know, obviously it's massive for them and it's hugely disrespectful. And that's going to be difficult for a lot of United fans to put to one side. It'll take a lot of very, very good performances for him to get the majority of what I would call the sort of the Old Trafford, Stretford End faithful back on side, because they will, this things that he's done and said and the way he's behaved will be hard for them to forget and give him the benefit of the doubt that he truly wants to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did say after the game, you know, team spirit has been fantastic. And when you saw Marcus Rashford pointing over to him when he delivered that like quarterback style ball to Rashford for the third goal, you thought, oh, okay, maybe they've been working on that in training. Maybe that is great. But Mark, listen, before you go, it's been absolutely brilliant to have you on again, mate. Absolutely wonderful,
no problem,
as always. Just want to quickly touch on deadline day. Romelu Lukaku on his way out. They didn't get a player in. There is still talk about Alexis Sanchez. Also, suggestions that Christian Eriksen wasn't convinced on Man United's ambition. What do you take from the deadline day this year?
When you're in the sort of the build-up to the deadline day, the amount of players who were linked with United was just extraordinary, and it becomes dizzying trying to keep abreast of everything that's going on. You know, as in my role in what I try and do, and keep on top of everything that's going on. You know, everything that United have in the pipeline or have that happen seems to be 3 or 4 weeks or even longer in the build-up, and we all get to know about it, and every little detail is sort of discussed and analysed before it happens. And the Lukaku thing went on for ages, and the Bruno Fernandes thing, I mean, just went on forever but never happened. There just needs to be a rethink in terms of the way that United do it and compared to how their neighbours do it. And Cancelo just went to City and there was no kind of hiatus. We learned the day before and then it just happened. And I just wonder, that kind of feeds into, you know, who is really kind of pulling the strings at United in terms of what is the strategy, what are they trying to achieve? It just feels like it's just, whoever we can get, we'll get. You know, it doesn't matter what position, and even though we'll get rid of Lukaku, but it doesn't matter. We'll be okay. We've lost that guy, but we'll fudge it. We'll try and get through it. And they've strengthened the defence, which is obviously the major plus with Maguire and Wan-Bissaka, but then they've got sort of six centre halves, so they haven't been able to get any of them out. And you know, with Phil Jones and Smalling and Rojo and Eric Bailly and Tuan Zabi, you know, the guys come back from Villa. Why have they got seven centre-halves in the first team squad? Surely there would have been, there was a way to maybe ship a couple of them out. So, you know, it's not just the players coming in, it's the overall business. And it just lends to this growing narrative that the structure and the organisation is not really fit for purpose at a club Manchester United size. And with everything they've done in the past and will obviously hope to do in the future, unfortunately, that side of it is just not right at the moment. And Ed Woodward and the guys at the top have systematically, in for the last 5 years, I would argue, kind of failed in their job description. I mean, I know he makes lots of money and the club makes lots of money, but at the end of the day, you know, the products on the pitch and the way that the transfer dealings have been done and handled and the players that they brought in, and you know, is what sort of scrutiny is going into the personality? Why was Di Maria brought in and then sold because he didn't fancy it? Well, surely he must have known he didn't fancy playing in England when you signed him, and all these kind of odd little things that have happened over the last 5 years carried on into this transfer window, and the lack of a central midfielder is, why wasn't that sort of a priority? Why didn't they make that and just go out and get the guy that they needed to get? And if you're selling Lukaku, because we knew about it for weeks and weeks, have a replacement lined up, unless Ollie genuinely thinks that Martial and Rashford are going to be able to, will be enough to sort of do that job up top.
Yeah, Mark, listen, absolutely. I pretty much agree with everything that you're saying, and I'd love to talk more about it, but unfortunately we've got to go to the ads. So, Mark, great to hear from you. That was Mark Flanagan from LSR Radio, Northwest Football correspondent. Ed Woodward has plenty to do. Around £800 million plus has been spent on his watch. Has it been good money spent? We'll find out. Into the last 10 minutes of the Manchester United Fan Show.
This is Love Sport.
Sports, the Manchester United Fan Show. We've got about 7-8 minutes left and we're going to rack through a couple of guests right now. Tom Wade of Stretty News. We had Dale O'Donnell, of course, of Stretty News on earlier. Now we've got Tom Wade of Stretty News. How are you doing, Tom?
Hi, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very good, buddy. Very good. Listen, we've talked about Chelsea until the cows have come home. I quickly want to get some reaction or looking ahead, shall I say, to the Wolves game next weekend. This is a game that United, or a ground, sorry, in Molineux that United really struggled at last season. Obviously lost two games on the bounce in the Premier League and the FA Cup. You'd like to think probably the catalyst, really, for that terrible run towards the end of the campaign. Wolves drawing at Leicester today. VAR controversy reigns supreme, as it will do pretty much throughout the Premier League campaign. But what are your thoughts ahead of that match after today's resounding win against Chelsea?
You know, I said it earlier, it becomes a different test again. You know, Wolves will be a completely different test. You're on the road. It's going to be a hostile atmosphere. And, you know, OK, today we beat Chelsea 4-0, but was it the perfect performance? I think you could make an argument to say, based on the first half, no. Second half, obviously, they come out and completely blew Chelsea away on the counter-attack, and I think that's where the game was won. Wolves, you know, they obviously got hard done by VAR today, and that's going to play a huge role this season. We've already seen that over the first few games, and personally, I think it's a good thing, you know, that football has to move with the times. But I put a tweet out the other day saying, you know, when a team scores, it almost takes the fun out of celebrating because you're not sure whether you're going to get awarded it. But VAR aside, I think Wolves will be a big test for United. And when the fixtures first come out, I've seen it, Chelsea and Wolves, first two games of the season. And I honestly couldn't wish for two bigger games because it's two big tests. You know, you can't look at Wolves and say, well, that's a walkover. I think Wolves have been fantastic since they've been in the Premier League. I think Nuno's got them playing very well. They've got a very, very good midfield, which we know Manchester United, not necessarily, you know, they haven't. I mean, today, it worked well at times. I think it worked a lot better when Lingard was allowed to come in and play in the 10 role. I think that's where he excelled today, and he put in a fantastic performance. So I think Ollie's got his work cut out, trying to juggle how he's going to put up with the Wolves midfield. But, you know, I'm confident. After watching that today, I think, you know, that's the biggest positive we could the best start we could have got off to today.
No, absolutely. It's funny. Do you buy into the fact that teams generally struggle at certain grounds? Because these stats always come out and go, oh, it's the first time they've won there since 1972. Well, look, these are different players, different teams, different eras. But when you look at United's record at Molineux, obviously, like we said, lost twice last season. Yes, they've had some good results there. But the previous season when Wolves were in the Premier League in 2010-11, United lost then. They lost this season when Wolves were in the Premier League in the mid-noughties. Obviously, Kenny Miller scoring the solitary goal then. So United haven't got the best record at Molineux in recent times.
No, Wolves has always been a funny one for United, actually. It's always been, again, it's always been one of them games, even back further than recent years anyway. You know, you always say, oh, Wolves, yeah, you know, United should win comfortably, but they never have. So for me, there's no better time to break that hoodoo, and I think that United could do it. I think they can do it. I think they will do it. You know, I've got full faith in this squad, and, you know, second half today showed that they can play. And, you know, if we can put in another performance like that, I should think that the bad record at Molineux will stand no longer. So, you know, it's going to be a tough test. Well, like I said, Wolves are a good side, but I've got a feeling that we're going to see something different from this United team this year.
Good stuff. Quick, Tom, before you go, score prediction, please. Wolves?
I'll probably say 2-0 United.
2-0 United. Lovely stuff. Tom, thanks for coming on. That was Tom Wade of Stretti News. We are going to go straight to Sonia Randev, CEO of Slick Sport Consultancy. Sonia, we are going to talk, thank you for coming on, by the way, we're going to talk Jose Mourinho, because he was in the Sky Sports studio today, and typically kind of suggesting that he wasn't really going to be controversial. He ended up being very controversial. He said that Manchester City B-side would finish fourth in the Premier League ahead of Man United, and he also criticised Frank Lampard as well. What do you make of his comments?
I thought he was absolutely phenomenal, to be perfectly honest with you.
Did you?
Yes, I thought he was a breath of fresh air.
Okay.
To be perfectly honest with you, he was honest. His analysis was on point. I mean, you can just tell by, people across social media, everyone was really impressed by him. Don't get me wrong, I'm really glad that, you know, he's no longer United's manager. I never wanted him in the first place. But I was pleasantly surprised, because I was expecting him to be, don't get me wrong, he was his usual annoying self. But it worked, and I think Sky Sports have—they've hit, you know, pot of gold there. I think with him, if he continues, because I think it might get to a point where he might actually start annoying people, because it wouldn't be normal if he didn't. But I actually thought that his analysis was on point.
So, in terms of the reaction from Man United fans, you think it's going to be positive? I mean, there was, I believe, some singing in the ground. I couldn't quite make it out. We were on air at the time, but
yeah, they were singing Mourinho's name.
Really?
And then I think it was, yes, yep, they were. I think it was either after Rashford's second or Daniel James' goal that they then started singing Oli, Oli, Oli.
Oh, right, straight back at him.
Yeah.
It was interesting because Frank Lampard obviously hit back and said, all right, is that what he said by criticising me? I can't play players that are on the treatment table. The fact that he claimed Manchester City B team would finish fourth, I mean, is that something that you just think is understandable? I mean, is he being realistic there, or do you think that's a subtle dig at United?
I think it's a bit of both, because it wouldn't be Mourinho if he wasn't giving it a dig. Do you know what I mean? But if you actually look at Man City's team as a whole and look at their bench, you pretty much got to agree with Mourinho, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, they're a phenomenal team. Liverpool haven't really done that much. I mean, obviously, we're going on to another team. It is a Man United show. But they are the two teams that everybody's literally going to be watching out for this season. But in fairness, I thought some of his comments were quite fair. I mean, he made a few comments about Luke Shaw. Maguire, great signing for us. Yes, very expensive, but we needed a player like him to come on board. And obviously, Mourinho saying that, you know, he would have to kind of step up in terms of kind of covering for sure. But, you know, this is a person that's managed the team. He's worked with these players. He's just basically, Mourinho's always been quite honest, annoying at the same time, rubs people up the wrong way. But I have to agree with, you know, the majority of the comments that he actually made.
Sonia, thank you for those comments. Really, really grateful for you coming on today. That was Sonia Randev, CEO of Slick Sport Consultancy, there talking about Jose Mourinho. She thinks that Sky Sports have found a gem there in a pundit. We will see more from him as the season goes on, of course. But it's been the first day for Manchester United today, a 4-0 victory over Chelsea. A good start. We don't know what's going to come, but hopefully next week they can break that Molineux hoodoo. Two defeats there towards the back end of last season in the FA Cup and the Premier League. It's the Manchester United Fan Show on Love Sport. We'll see you next week.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.